All right, take your Bible, if you would, please turn to Psalm chapter 25. We are going to be moving around just a little bit this morning. Probably won't have you turn to all that we're going to look at. Let me start with a little quote from Lewis Sperry Schaeffer, pastor, theologian, co-founder of Dallas Theological Seminary in Texas back in the early 20th century. A brilliant man. He was one who put together, he was one of the first really well-known premillennial, pre-tribulational, kind of a independent Baptist type, who wrote, of course, a very well-known systematic theology. Schaeffer's systematic theology is one of the better known. And he put into a organized, systematic way many of the doctrines of the faith that were beginning to be questioned in the early 20th century. But he said this as we finish up talking about God's guidance and God's plan for our lives. Does God have a plan for our lives? I think we pretty much established from the Word of God that he does. Would you agree with that? But here's what he said, and I quote, yieldedness to the will of God is not demonstrated by some one particular issue. It is rather having taken the will of God as the rule of one's life. To be in the will of God is simply being willing to do his will without reference to any particular thing he may choose. It is electing his will to be final, even before we know what he may wish us to do. It is therefore not a question of being willing to do some one thing. It is a question of being willing to do anything, when, where, and how it may seem best in his heart of love. It is taking the normal and the natural position of childlike trust, which has already consented to the wish of the Father, even before anything of the outworking of his wish is revealed, end of quote. We have not only established the fact that God has a plan for our lives from the Word of God itself, and we have also suggested who it is that God will guide, what person will God guide. Obviously, number one has to be a person that knows Christ as Savior and Lord, but also one who is willing, one who has yielded, one who has surrendered. But I want us to look at a few passages of Scripture to kind of bring all this together as we close out this little brief mini study. And the first place we're going to look here is in Psalm 25, just one verse, verse number 9. The meek, many translations have that translated humble. Meekness and humility kind of go together anyway, don't they? The meek will he guide in judgment or in justice, and the meek or the humble will he teach his way. So those who are humble, among other things, I would say would certainly involve those who don't have an overbearing confidence in themselves. If we're very self-confident, we're not going to be very trusting in God, are we? We think self is dependable and reliable. Are we going to seek someone else? One part of the definition of being humble is to be teachable. Brought this out on Wednesday night. Teachable. Someone who is full of themselves and trusting in self and leaning on their own understanding will not trust in God. They will instead depend upon self. One of the things that is very wrong with our nation is more and more people are leaving God totally out of the picture. And when there is a godless society, what happens to that society? It's in chaos. How do a lot of our cities look today? Especially those run by the far left radical Marxist leaders, the far left leaders, and those who have bought and paid for progressive DAs that don't uphold the laws. I get a big kick. Actually, it doesn't give me a big kick. It gives me a big anger when I hear the president say, the reason the border is not secure is because Congress won't pass my multi-gazillion dollar bill that has nothing to do with securing the border. Are there any laws that are different than what were in place 4 years ago when Donald Trump was in office? How was the border for those 4 years, by the way? A lot different, wasn't it? Same laws. What happened on the first day? The first day of this president's administration is he signed executive order after executive order that opened wide the border. All he's got to do is the same stroke of the pen, reverse it, and go back to the policies that were in place when he took office. But he intends, and always, every time he speaks, every time he speaks, he lies to the American people. And so he's lying. Can't secure the border because the Republicans in Congress won't pass my gazillion-dollar bill. But yet he and Mayorkas, who's supposed to be in charge of the border, have said over and over again until very recently when some have finally realized, you know, the cities are filling up with all these illegal aliens. I guess we have to admit the border is not secure. How many years did they say to the American people the border is secure? Now all of a sudden it's not, but it's not. I would like for you to give me one instance when President Biden has ever admitted fault to anything. Yeah, you know, I that policy was not a good idea. I should never go in that direction. We're going to change course. We're going to go this way now. Anybody hear any of that? The reason you don't hear it is because there's a lack of humility. When we are humble before the Lord, we will admit when we have sinned. We will admit we fall short. And we will then, as a humble person that loves the Lord Jesus Christ, be prepared to follow the divine leading, whatever the cost. There is no divine guidance for those who are not willing to do God's will. Period. In John chapter 7, in verse number 17, John 7 and verse number 17. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. That's verse 37. That's a good verse, but that's not the right one. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Somebody has said most who don't get the Bible have a will problem, not a brain problem. Most who don't get the Bible have a will problem, not a brain problem. When we surrender to do His will, He will guide us as we affirm His word to be true. The teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit will accomplish this. Because the Bible says He will guide us into all truth. The Lord made it clear to the amazed Jews. They were amazed at the knowledge of this simple carpenter, the condition for knowing God's will. The knowledge of God's will is dependent on the attitude of the human will. One who has the hard attitude of doing God's will rather than doing his own will is in a position to prove the validity of the words of Christ and the promises of Christ. Obeying God's will as far as it is known enables us to enjoy the Spirit illuminating the Word. A surrendered will means we are willing to have our plans vetoed as to have them confirmed by our heavenly guide. And the way this happens is through prayer. When there is a conflict of interest, a meek person that loves the Lord Jesus and desires to obey His will for their lives understand that it must go God's way, not my way. We must be willing to give up. And sometimes that's hard for us to do, isn't it? To yield and surrender to God's guidance. Many claim to seek God's guidance, but in their hearts, they have no intention of following what God reveals to them to be His will if it doesn't please them. Are we willing to allow God to guide us even when it's not pleasing, humanly speaking? Remember some principles of guidance. Guidance is an impersonal word. We don't actually find the word guidance. We find guide sometimes, but we don't find guidance, that impersonal word, in the Word of God. But there is a lot said about God being a personal guide. We are promised the personal companionship of an experienced guide to lead us through life. I remember when I had driver's ed in school in Milwaukee. It was quite a good course for back in the late, I guess right around 1969, 70. It was a good course for back then. They even had a, what would be considered now archaic. It'd be kind of like an old Atari game, you know, with the little when you played ping pong. It was a little line with a little, you know, not very elaborate, was it? Well, they had a driving simulator that was kind of archaic, but it did work, had a little screen in front, and you could pretend, you know. But anyway, one thing that the teacher taught us, we could not get out of driver's ed, we would not pass. It was an actual course, and then we had a course behind the wheel the second semester. It was a whole year. And one thing we had to learn before we could pass was how to fold a paper map. Now, obviously, today we don't need paper maps, do we? You know, but sometimes, of course, I don't know how many times GPS has let me down. You know, I'm driving along and I lose a signal or whatever. And then I remember years ago, I had it in old Prius we had, and I went to Baltimore. I had to go to Hopkins and I plugged it in, and it took me around in a circle in Baltimore. Do you know what, you know, and there are men that tend to stand on the corner in Baltimore. They're probably not up to much good. Middle of the day, should be at work. They're not. They're standing in groups in corner. And I passed them four times. Guess what they don't, and thankfully, if that happened today, I'd probably be dead. But back, this would have been 12, 14 years ago. About 10, 12 years ago. I would be dead. But I kept passing them. They kept looking. Who's this cracker in that little Prius? Keeps going around and around in front of us. But you know what's better than a map? I'd like to see somebody in high school today have to, number one, be able to read a map, and number two, be able to fold it. Do you remember folding a map? There was a trick to it, wasn't there? You'd end up with this big ball, or it'd be folded all wrong, and it would be all puffy, and you try to jam it in your glove box. What's better than a map is a guide. Now, we have the roadmap to heaven. We have the Word of God. We have everything we need right here in the Word of God. But you know what? Even though we can read it, and we have the Spirit inside of us, but what we need is a guide, and the Holy Spirit promised to be that guide. So no matter what we face in life, we have the Holy Spirit who will take the Word of God and He will show us the way to go. God did not leave us alone. Christ sent another comforter. Our guide will never depart from the precepts of the Word of God, and so we can be assured that however He guides, He's going to guide us the right way. Now, sometimes the Word of God speaks very clearly, and that is enough. For instance, let me give you an example. You probably want an example, don't you? Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 25 says this. Wherefore, Paul, by the way, had just talked about in the verses leading up, and I'm not going to go back as far as I could, but back to verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then he goes on in verse 25 and says, basically, with that in mind, wherefore, or you could say, therefore, because these things are so, putting away lying, literally having laid aside lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Does that need any further explanation? Put away lying. What's that mean? Tell me, somebody tell me, what does that mean, put away lying? You guys are scholars. Oh, yeah. Don't lie. Stop lying. So the Word of God makes it very, very clear. But there are other principles of guidance. Turn with me, if you would please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Looking at two verses here in chapter 10, verse number 6. Now these things were our examples. And he's going back to the time of the Exodus and the wilderness wanderings. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And then he goes on to talk about four major sins that disqualified them: idolatry, immorality, testing God, and number four, complaining, a dissatisfaction with the will of God. But then in verse number 11, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, or for our warning and instruction, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So the Bible's filled with commands, promises, prohibitions, warnings applicable to any situation we may find ourselves in. Everything we need to live in this world, even in 2024. So we then should study the whole Word of God, because as Paul wrote here to the Corinthians, referring back to Old Testament examples, he said, the things that we read about back then in the Old Testament are given for our admonition, for our instruction, which reminds us that all of the Word of God is relevant. All of the Word of God is relevant. So secondly, the guide imparts guidance to us as we pray. When's the last time you prayed for guidance from our God? Is it a regular part of your prayer life to pray, God, lead the way? In Philippians chapter 1, verse number 9, a familiar passage. Philippians 1 and verse 9. In this, I'm going to back up just one verse. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Which you could say Christ's heartbeat was Paul's heartbeat. In this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, or in love. Love without limit. Your love may abound more and more, but in knowledge, based upon the word of truth. Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. It came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. So he went away and prayed all night before he chose the 12. Not going to be long, I'm going to start coughing, I can tell. Got that tickle. Our Lord is a great example. As he went and he prayed, seeking the Father's will, as he always did, And because he sought the Father's will, John chapter 11, verse 42 reminds us that his prayers were always answered. You want a guarantee that your prayer will be answered? Pray according to the will of God. It would be impossible for him not to answer a prayer that's prayed in the will of God. You say, well, how can I be guaranteed of that? Well, that's kind of hard because we keep getting in the way, don't we? We sometimes think we're in the center of the will of God, but it's not really his will. It's our will. And I mean, we got to walk close to Christ for us to be consistently assured of being in the center of God's will and being guided by him. Paul, as we read in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, prayed that their love would abound more and more in knowledge and also in depth of insight, so that when we face major decisions, it's going to be obvious in the realm of wisdom to pray, to spend concentrated times in prayer. Sometimes, number three, we pray and fast. I don't fast as much as I used to. It's pretty obvious. I need to get back in the habit. I do short little fast, but I don't consider it very sacrificial to fast for half a day, do you? In Acts chapter 13, Paul, of course, and I referred to this recently, we're not going to turn there this morning, but in Acts 13, before the first missionary journey, they prayed. They laid their hands on Paul and Barnabas, or Paul and Silas, I think, in Acts 13, and they went off on the missionary journey. But in the beginning of the chapter and on into the chapter, we find the Holy Spirit of God redirecting Paul. They were going to go one way. God said, no, don't go that way, go this way. And they went that way, and God said, no, don't go that way, go that way. And then we have the Macedonian call, remember? The Holy Spirit is the administrator of the missionary enterprise, and he very clearly communicated his will to them. Number four, God guides us through the wise spiritual counsel of experienced friends and family. The writer to the Proverbs wisdom book, one of the wisdom books, some were Solomon's writing, some were others, but in Proverbs chapter 19, and there are other places too as well, but this is one example. Proverbs 19, verse number 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction. Talking about moral correction and discipline, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. And that's not one of the best examples of passages. There is a passage here in Proverbs that says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. God will use other people that are walking with God, some that may be more spiritually mature. And as we discuss together what we deem to be the will of God, we can receive counsel from one another in seeking to determine the plan and the will of God. And a good discussion and prayer, time of prayer together with others that love the Lord, can even sometimes widen the vision that God gives and stimulate more thought. Number five, he guides by creating desires in our hearts that are in accord with his sovereign will. He guides by creating desires in our hearts that are in accord with his sovereign will. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 13. Philippians 2, verse number 13. For it is God which worketh in us, or in you, both to will, that's the desire, and to do, that's the action of his good pleasure. 1 Timothy 3:1 says that if a man desires the office of a bishop or pastor, he desires a good work. Now, we tend to naturally lean toward our own desires, our own will. So we have to carefully scrutinize our own desires because they get in the way. They get in the way, don't they? So we need to really pray, Lord, I don't want to do my thing and be out of your will. But if our desires match up with the will of God, then God will give us the desires of our hearts. It's a wonderful promise. We talked about it. Number 7, God guides through gifts and talents imparted by him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, of course, we have one of the sections of the Word of God that talks about spiritual gifts, talks about the body of Christ, talks about us all being one, being in unity, but yet diverse. And the Lord himself and the person of the Spirit has chosen spiritual gifts for us. In verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man individually, severally, as he wills. We don't choose our spiritual gift or gifts. God gives them to us. But normally, as God guides us and reveals to us our spiritual gift or gifts, he has already placed within us certain natural abilities that go hand in hand with those gifts. Would the Lord place somebody in administration, maybe as treasurer of a church, if they are the one that finished last in math class? You see what I'm saying? Or would God call someone into a ministry of music if they couldn't carry a tune in a bucket? Huh? Or would God have someone to teach the Word of God who cannot systematically bring together a portion of Scripture and present it in an intelligible way? Would God do that? God may call somebody like that and work a miracle in their lives. I'm not denying that he couldn't do that. I mean, remember David Ring? He had cerebral palsy, and he told, when he went to Bible college, he said, I've been called to preach, and they looked at him like he was crazy. They told him, you'd never preach, and he became an evangelist. They said, you'll never find a woman to marry. You found a woman to marry him. They said, you'll never have any children. You won't be able to have children. I think he had 4. And he traveled around the country and beyond preaching the Word of God. Had a very successful ministry. So there are exceptions. He wasn't the easiest to listen to, but God had his hand on him. And I used to have a VHS tape of him and Dr. Lake and a lot of my favorites. And I loaned it to somebody that visited Black Rock, and they ended up not coming back. And they came back, but not for long, never got it back. That was a valuable piece of history that I can never get back. But anyway, I don't wish evil upon them. I hope their teeth and hair fall out. But other than that, I don't have any ill will whatsoever. Then lastly, number 8, you're going to get out a little early this morning. I hope you're not disappointed. Number 8, he guides through intellect. You know, God uses our minds. It's not like we're mind-numb robots and we don't think. No, the mind is involved. In James chapter 1, another familiar passage, it talks about wisdom. In James 1, verse number 5, any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He doesn't scold when we ask for that wisdom. And it shall be given him. So we know, number 1, wisdom comes from God. And number 2, if we lack it, we can ask God and he'll give it to us. And, of course, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. Also, the Bible says the beginning of knowledge. So we are involved in the process, and we need to recognize when we lack the wisdom we need to make a decision that's going to honor and glorify God. If we're confused about what is the will of God and what isn't the will of God, or where God is guiding and where God is not guiding, We need to pray and ask God, God, give me wisdom that I make the right choice. God will lead us, but God does not override the will of man. So in other words, it's important that we are in cooperation with the Spirit of God and obedient to the Word of God if we're going to be in the center of His will. In the realm of guidance, our mental and spiritual faculties are involved. So let me ask you again. Number one, are you concerned about the will of God? I mean, really. I would venture to say, without hesitation, that the majority of professing believers today give little, if any, thought to the will of God on a daily basis. I believe that there are very, very few believers that are concerned about the guidance of God and really seek the mind of the Lord in decision making and end up going their own way, doing their own thing, and settle for something far less than what God had intended for them. What a shame to settle for something far below what God had chosen for you or for me. Let's stand for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the promises of Scripture. And Lord, it's so easy to push aside the desires and the will of God and do our own thing and go our own way and miss out on the very best that you have for us. So, Lord, remind us to pray. And sometimes to fast, and then to be willing to yield in absolute surrender to the Lordship of Christ, giving in to the ultimate guide, not leaning upon our own understanding, but acknowledging you in all our ways that you may direct our path. And Lord, we're reminded that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. So remind us also to be students of the Word of God. And not just a student in that we gather facts and hoard them up, but that we are willing not only to hear, but to do of thy good pleasure. There's one here this morning without the Savior, cannot say with absolute assurance and confidence that if I died today, I know I'd be in the presence of Christ. Because I know that he saved me. I've been born into his family. I'm a new creation in Christ. I've trusted in him. I have been washed in his blood. My sins have been forgiven. And I know that I'm assured for heaven as if I were already there. I pray that today would be the day of salvation. So, Lord, may we be sensitive to the Spirit this morning and respond as you so direct us. In Jesus' name, amen.